Good evening. We're going to start even 1 minute early, the Writers Advisory Council meeting for January of 2016. We are very fortunate tonight to have our new WMATA general manager. Unless you have been living in a rock on another continent, you know that we have a new general manager who's been here for over a month now. And we are fortunate to have him speak for a few minutes to us. So I'm going to turn the mics over to him, and then we'll have our normal agenda after that. Thank you.
Going. But just by way of background, if you don't know, Baltimore born and raised, transit rider all my life, lived in North Baltimore and took the bus over to West Baltimore to Mount St. Joseph High School. And if anyone has ever been around Zavarian Brothers, they're known for their discipline. And if you're 1 minute late, you have what's called JUG, which is justice under God, judgment under God, which means you get detention. So I learned very early to catch the bus before the bus that was scheduled to get me there on time, just to be safe. So I've been around transit all my life, professionally as well as a consultant, and working for the Maryland Department of Transportation, managed their capital budget for a number of years, which included the transit program, and then eventually ran the transit agency in Baltimore, which is a combination of subway, light rail, bus, and paratransit service, as well as the MARC system. So did that for a number of years, and then was asked then to go run BWI Airport, which does have a transit system as well, a bus, shuttle bus system, and did that for a number of years, and actually did it twice. So this is my fourth time in a position like this. So I'm not green to, you know, some of the challenges that big, complex organizations have. And with this one, I have three priorities coming out of the gate, and that is obviously safety, most importantly. We always have to have that. And for me, the way I like to frame it is, you know, there's safety rules we have to meet under FTA, and I'm sure you've been reading all about those. And those are like they're the compliance part of what we do. To me, compliance is down here. It's almost irrelevant. You know, that's something you pass along the way to being up here. So that's, you know, that's my goal with safety here. The other obviously is service reliability. We've not been performing to the level that we all expect and demand, to be frank. So that's the other major focus area I have. And then finally, our fiscal house. You know, we have to manage this like a business. Yes, we're a public entity, but it has to be managed like a business, and just the basics have to be met. So those are my three things that I'll be focusing on, particularly in the first, you know, 6 months time frame. Do I sort of get that moving in the direction I want? And then I'll start to expand into other things. But in the near future, I will come out with some more specifics of some of the things that I will be doing and share that with you. So that would be probably a little bit more appropriate time, maybe to really spend some time and have some back and forth on some of those issues. I'm here at any time, so if you ever want to grab me and you have any suggestions, I love them. I have an open door policy with my staff for the same reason. So if there's anything that you want to bring to my attention individually, be sure to do it. Obviously, from the committee, what I would love is some focus. There's some things that you can really zero in on for me and produce something. That would be great. I have lots of people telling me lots of things, so the more focus I can get from groups, particularly groups that say, look, you know, we take a broader view, but we have these one, two, or three things to do that we want to focus on. I know that you're working on a work program, I believe, to do that, so that would be very helpful for me. So with that, I'd be glad to take any immediate questions or comments you might have or whatever.
Well, I thought we were going to just let you do your statement and then we could grill you when you come back.
Okay. Very good. No, I appreciate that. I apologize for double booking. I had this at 6 for some reason. So I told this person about his day, well, I'll see you at 6:30, so. But I appreciate your time. And I really did just want to really go to face-to-face. So
and we appreciate that.
Sorry. Very good.
Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Oops. We are going to move into our established agenda now. There will be a few adjustments, but we're going to start with roll call. And what we're looking for, especially tonight, we are doing roll call first. That's right. Sorry. I got confused there for a minute. What I'm looking for each of you, old or new members, is to give us your name, give us what your jurisdiction is, in other words, the stuff on your name tag, what you ride, what your ridership is, just briefly, and then if you have one other thing you want to share. And for the public who is here, I should mention that with the start of the new year, we have a third of our membership is new. This is not an accident. This is how it works. We are all on three-year terms, and so every year we have a third of the membership turns. It gives us an ongoing supply of new thoughts and new thinking, and so that's why we're going through these introductions tonight, and hopefully you'll learn something from them too. So we're going to start right with you there in the corner. One of our newbies. Oh, you can also just say if you're new or whether you've how long you've been with the RAC.
So I had a couple of just prepared remarks. It won't be long, but I wanted to be sure I could just say it since this is the first time that.
Is your mic on?
I think it is.
Great. Yep. Yeah, you just need to get closer.
No problem. Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the Metro Riders Advisory Council, Metro staff, and members of the general public. My name is Donald Hughes, and I am a resident of Montgomery County, Maryland, and currently I work for the government of the District of Columbia in the office of the Deputy Mayor for Greater Economic Opportunity. I think the most important thing, though, is that I'm a Metro rider. I ride the Red Line from Silver Spring to Anacostia. I also ride Metro Bus to get to various activities throughout the district and throughout the region. I'm excited to join the Metro Riders Advisory Council and to work with each of you to advocate on behalf of Metro Riders and to help create a world-class public transportation system, a system that works for all the stakeholders, a system that is the best in the nation, and this is what I think is the most critical component, a system that is the preferred mode of transportation for visitors and residents of the Washington metro area. So there's a lot that we could all say about our interest in serving on this council, but we'll have plenty of time over the next 3 years or how many ever years we serve. But I do look forward to working with you all. Thank you for this opportunity to serve, and I hope that we accomplish some great things over the next few years. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Zepp.
My name is Jim Zepp. I'm from Montgomery County, and I was originally appointed to fill out the term of someone who left the council here, so I started back in September, so I have a slight edge over some of the other folks that are new tonight, but not much. I'm the first vice president of the Montgomery County Civic Federation, which represents civic and neighborhood associations across Montgomery County, and we've been very heavily involved in transportation issues over the years, and in particular over the last 3 years, because Montgomery County wants to set up its own independent bus rapid transit system to somewhat compete with Metro. So heavily involved in that. I have a professional planning background, having worked for an 8-county regional planning commission and other metropolitan planning organizations as well. So I have some understanding regarding that. Some of my concerns, I guess, is that I see the transportation landscape really possibly changing in the next 5 to 10 years in terms of new technologies coming online, such as the driverless cars, adaptive signal systems, and other things that are happening, as well as the new business models that are happening as far as Uber and Lyft and whatnot. And I'm sure you are aware that, for example, just the other day, GM announced that they're buying or investing $50 million in Lyft, and Uber is planning to have on-demand transportation services by the next 15 years that would respond within 36 seconds of a request for service. So I see the agencies like WMATA is facing a challenge as to what is it going to do in this new future where there's a lot of different services and other things happening that it's never had to deal with before.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sherry Doster. I'm representing Prince George's, Southern Prince George's County. I'm fairly new to RAC myself, and well, my background from prizes on the professional side in compliance and IT risk and assessments and things like that, but over 10 years of customer service experience also. So I'm just a people person, and I'm truly here representing just ridership itself because of issues we've all experienced. So and my agenda, I guess, moving forward and contributing to RAC itself has been on in the area of asking riders in the areas that I, you know, frequent, which is like College Park, Largo, and occasionally into White Flint area of Montgomery. So it was, I have a, of course, in Alexandria City, throughout Route 1 in that Potomac Yard area. But my focus has been really to just try to get input from other riders like me, and like I said, focusing on how can we best move forward and make sure that this transit system stays able to support the demand of the ridership and the volume itself. So,
thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Denise Clark. Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the Riders Advisory Council, and the public. I live in Fort Washington in Prince George's County, Maryland. I ride the Metro Bus and the Metro Rail in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia frequently. Thank you for my appointment to the RAC. I became interested in joining RAC as a member because I like to be of service to WMATA in helping to improve the ridership experience of not only myself, but also all of WMATA's customers. Once again, thank you for my appointment.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Valerie Cook, and I'm from Washington, D.C. I'm one of your federal employees. I ride the Red Line. I take a bus to the Red Line and take it from Tacoma to downtown. I want to join the Rider Advisory Committee because I'm interested in transportation. I think that it's part of the solutions for our future. Some of those interesting solutions were mentioned earlier, but I want to make sure that this is available for our community. And so that's why I joined. Thanks.
Thank you. Lorraine?
Hi, my name is Lorraine Silva, and I'm from Arlington County. I have been in the RAC since 2009. I am a big transit advocate. I ride all jurisdictional transit facilities and rail and bus. So I only use transit. I don't drive. So I also am very much interested in participation or representing, I guess, the Spanish-speaking community, which sometimes is left behind or not thought of when some decisions are made.
Deborah.
Ourselves and where we're from is. So I'm Deb McKenzie, and I'm Arlington, Virginia, so I'm representing Arlington in Virginia. I've been on the RAC for about a year and a half, and I'm on the Customer Service Committee.
My name is Bob Fola. I'm from Montgomery County. I've been on the RAC for about a year and a half as well. I've filled somebody's unexpired term. I ride the Red Line. I have been for many, many years, and I get most of my feedback, I think, from my two 20-year-old 20s children who also ride the Red Line and Metro Bus to work every day. I'm currently the vice chair from Maryland and chairman of the Customer Service Committee.
Hi, I'm Barbara Hermanson, and I am currently the chair for the RAC. I am the and one and only Alexandria representative, and I'm proud of it. And I was, prior to this past year, I was the Virginia chair for 2 years for the Virginia delegation. I retired last July, but I still ride Metro, maybe not every day, but I am both a bus and a rail rider, and I happen to go all over the place. So that's what I do. And don't take it personally, but I have to run over to the table and get something, but continue now.
Hi, my name is Dan Turk. I'm representing DC. I'm currently the DC vice chair and chairman of the PPP committee. And I would really encourage all of you, especially the new members, to participate actively in one of the committees. My opinion is that the real interesting work, both in terms of getting something done and in terms of positively interacting with other people, is done at the committee level. You also have at the committee level an opportunity to launch your own initiatives or to propose something that the committee will focus on. I was a chairman this year of the PPP committee. We had a really good group of five people that we met. We were responsible for issuing resolutions or advice to the board on various things such as the new fare collection system, priority seating on buses, social media presence for the RAC, and looking at WMATA looking more into mobile applications. So thought it was a very successful year, and it really depended on people actively participating at the committee level. So I would really encourage you guys to look into that. That's where I've gotten the most out of being a member of the RAC.
Hello, my name is Corin Moore. I represent the District of Columbia. I'm a new member here. I do ride the blue, orange, silver, and also the buses to get to the Potomac Avenue Station, 36, 32, 30S and N, and M6. But I also have a car, so it is my choice to take Metro because I love to take the train to work. I work downtown D.C. at in the hospitality industry, specifically at hotels. So I speak to a lot of people all over, and I also promote the Metro. And so one of my biggest concerns is safety. After taking Metro for 2 years, you're definitely going to run into something. And so I never want anyone to not feel safe. So that's going to be my focus, and I'm happy to join.
My name is Pat Sheehan. I am an appointed member to this committee from the Accessibility Advisory Committee. That's a sister committee to this committee that I chair. I've been chairing that for many years. And I'm from Montgomery County. The focus of my input on this committee is to bring concerns from the disability community to the RAC. My hope is that the RAC and the AAC can work together to form joint recommendations that go before the board. So I am very pleased that particularly over the last few years, the RAC and the AAC have done, I think, some very good work collaborating together and been able to give joint input to the board on a number of recommendations. One of the things that came up just as we were talking this evening is the idea of Uber and Lyft. Well, if you look at Uber and Lyft as transportation alternatives, how can they interface with the Metro Access paratransit system? That's something that we're going to be looking at on my committee over the next 6 months, hopefully with some recommendations to come out in July. Now, being able to run those recommendations by the RAC so that when we make joint recommendations, they agree with the ridership and the disability community is very powerful. My job is to try to make that happen. I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you.
Madam Chairman, folks, my name is John Nelson, and I'll get this out of the way quickly. For those of you who will see Major Nelson, it's a nickname. I wasn't in the military. My middle name is Anthony. My last name is Nelson. Tony Nelson from my junior genie. Everyone that smiled, you're dating yourself. So, I represent Fairfax County, and I ride the Yellow Line. And one of the reasons why I'm here is because a lot of my friends forced me, in essence, to be here to represent them. I do a lot of, for the lack of a better term, blogging about the Yellow Line, and I also ride from Smithsonian to Capitol South quite a bit. So I'm on the Metro, and I do a lot of observations about Metro life, and also I ride a few buses from here and there. So I'm here to represent, much like what Sherry said. I'd like to be a representative for the people and to try to get their voices heard on councils like this and improve WMATA as best we can. So thank you for the opportunity.
Clarence.
Hello. Hi. My name is Clarence. Clarence Fenders. I live in the District of Columbia. Recently moved from when I started. I've been on the RAC since September, October. around that time. I ride all the different lines. I take all the different buses, primarily the red, red and the yellow. And I'm pretty much more of like social metro rider in terms of just like getting about and going out to different things, especially leaving at night, especially because now I live and work around Glover Park, so a little different. The big thing for me is for a lot of people who sort of see the different transportation options as competitions for WMATA, I sort of, my big thing is that they're, each one of them sort of helps fill in the gaps of the others. And the good plan and sort of work for advocacy is how do we sort of articulate and provide resources so people sort of see those connections in terms of, you know, I rode the Capital bike share down here, but I'm going to take the circulator going back home, or like I go out on the metro, but I'm going to take the D2 back to my apartment, and sort of helping people to sort of see those connections where it's not one or the other, but all the different ones working together in unison to sort of give people a really incentive to not, you know, if you don't have a car, how to still make getting around the city accessible. So that's my big thing.
Good evening. My name is Thaddeus Johnson. Like James and Bob, I started by filling an unexpired term, and I completed my first year on, during which I was part of the PPP committee, and I was happy, I'm happy to say that there are a couple of things that we saw from concept to implementing them and recommending to them to the board. So to echo what Daniel said, the a lot of the work that goes on in the committees is really where it's at. I also, what I also like about Metro is that it gives me options. I'm a commuter for the most part, Monday through Friday, and I can take several bus lines or several options to work, or, you know, jump on a bicycle if the trains are acting up. What I would like to see this year from the RAC is to improve the visibility of the RAC, because not, I think more people need to know about it, and that they see it as an option to address transportation issues that matter.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Will White from the Prince George's County area, and I'm self-employed, massage therapist. And so, as I like to tell people, I don't work in the city, I work the city. I have traveled back and forth. The Green Line is my primary line, but I have been back and forth, buses, trains, everything, because I can control my schedule, so I'm back and forth everywhere, every day. I volunteer for several organizations, so I'm all over the place. I will work the city. In fact, why don't we have the ability to own stock in this corporation? Because I know I have tons of money in it right now. Anyway, Karen, you said something that made me think. I've been here 30 years, and I have seen 30 years of service in this system, and highs and lows. I never gave that any thought until you said how long you've been riding the system. I mean, there have been times I've had cars, but now I am solely on the public transit system. And so for me to solely be a part of that, this was very important for me to be a part of this group. And when, as I've told some of the others of you earlier tonight, when I'm on the platform or I'm at the bus stop listening to people complain about how Metro sucks, how Metro this, how Metro that, they don't come to the source. And this is why it's very important for people to come to these meetings so they can voice their opinions. It's the squeaky wheel that gets oiled, and I've seen that. In the 1 year that I've been with this group, I have seen that happen. And so for people to not make it, and you know, make an effort to come out and voice their opinions about something, they shouldn't have a whole bunch of say-so in anything. So you know, that's my stand on it, but I do promote, you know, our meetings and hope that, you know, more people do come out to them. So, and as Dan said as well, I'm on the customer service committee. So for me, I'm looking forward to possibly heading up that committee this year. And so it is very important for me, from my standpoint, to see things that are coming from our customer base, having us to be able to have a chance to exercise those things as well. So thank you.
Good evening. My name is Colin Roosh. I'm a new at-large member. I live in D.C. And have for the past year or so. I ride green as well as silver, orange, and blue. But prior to that, I lived in Alexandria for a number of years and was a solely a Blue Line rider, and I still have some loyalties to the folks in Alexandria because I became a much more vocal Metro rider when the Blue Line service was cut. I began attending RAC meetings. Barbara actually was instrumental in organizing a Blue Line rider meeting with WMATA staff. And since then, you know, I've been a bit of a squeaky wheel. So I'm glad to be kind of squeaking from the inside a little bit.
Good squeaky
here.
Wheel. And speaking of squeaky wheels.
I guess I'm the squeaky wheel. My name is Chris Barnes. I'm also known as Fix WMATA. Not kill WMATA, fix WMATA. I have been a WMATA watchdog for 5.5 years, mostly on Twitter, and I have a website. And I'm very, very happy to be here. I cannot express how much this nameplate right here means to me. For 5.5 years, I've been coming to these meetings and sitting there or back in the day down there as a member of the public and harassing the 21 people who sat around this table. So now I am very happy to be the harassee, and I welcome the public to come to these meetings. I think everyone has said everything that I would say, and that is you have to be a part of the process. You have to show up to get the fixes you want. And that's what I'm trying to do and lead by example, and I'm hoping the rest of the public will follow suit. In my day job, I am in IT. For a TV network, so I look at computers all day long. I eat, sleep, and breathe IT and WMATA 24/7. Sometimes people appreciate that, and sometimes people don't appreciate that much attention. But again, I'm very happy to be here and looking forward to a great year and some achievements from this council. Thank you.
Well, and I'd like to just take a minute to say it's a very impressive group I think we have accumulated this year, and I want to submit my appreciation to Jason and to Joy for selecting our new members. They survived that process. And you've got, obviously, a wealth of diversity in terms of jurisdictions and occupations and walks of life and outlooks, so I think the RAC is better for it, and I think we're lucky to have all of you on board. I am sorry that a couple of our current members were not able to make it tonight, but they, because of job responsibilities. And actually, I'm not sure if there were more than just the two, but I know Jeremiah Bush, who's a Fairfax representative and has chaired the budget committee for us this past year. Also, Avani Gala, who is from Arlington, right? Yeah, and she has been very active on Dan's PPP committee. See, is there someone, anyone else that,
Ryan.
Oh, Ryan, yes, Ryan Naughty. He has been, he's a D.C. representative that has been very active as well on the PPP committee, and did I miss anybody now? Is everybody else here? So, great, okay, well, thank you. Welcome to all of you, and thanks to you that we're able to get here early. It was a great, I think I got a lot of good feedback that it was good instead of just everybody coming in and sitting at the chair at 6:28 or whatever, that this was a good way to get to know each other a little bit before we get down to business tonight. So thank you and welcome. All right, so all of you patient people in the public that have been sitting there waiting to have a say, how many do we have tonight? Jason or Joy?
Five people are queued up for public comment.
Okay. And we have one that was submitted online from Jeff Larimore. Those of you who have been with RAC know that Jeff has frequently been here. He has been one of the leaders of the Save the Blue Line that started with Colin aboard a year and a half ago. And he sent us this letter. I'm going to read it to you for the record. I'll try to be brief. I think it'll stay within my allotted time. Dear Riders Advisory Council members, since I'm unfortunately unable to attend the meeting tonight, I wanted to share my comments for the month via email. Okay, I'm sorry, I just lost it. I hope I didn't delete it. Nope, here it is. First off, I want to congratulate WMATA on restoring sufficient power after the Stadium Armory fire to run the full slate of trains during rush hour. However, I similarly want to express my disappointment over the fact
that the authority continues to neglect the problem of inequitable service, long waits, and large crowds on the Blue Line. While the Orange and Silver Line have had their service enhanced relative to this fall, improving from every 8 minutes to every 6 minutes, the Blue Line service still languishes at 12-minute headways. Similarly, while the Silver Line will likely return to having just 80 passengers per car during the afternoon rush hour, as they averaged for the year prior to the fire, the Blue Line will continue to have crowds that are more than 30% higher, averaging 111 passengers per car. Given this, I ask why WMATA is returning to a failed status quo by increasing service on Orange and Silver, but not on Blue. It should be immediately apparent to anyone who rides the Blue Lines, stands on the platforms watching the distribution of riders, or who reads the WMATA ridership reports that the distribution of service is not only inequitable, but inefficient and unsustainable. In the latest Amplify survey, riders expressed that their top priority for WMATA is improving train frequency. If WMATA takes these results seriously, then clearly they should emphasize improving on the dismal frequency on the Blue Line, which is dramatically out of line with the frequency seen for the rest of the system. Best regards, Jeff Larimore. Thank you, Jeff. Well said, better than I could have. For those of you who are new members, I would like to just add a footnote. We have for a year and a half watched and then watched the numbers come through, and we have met with staff. We have reinforced this idea that we really need to find a solution for the Blue Riders, and it there's just not easy answers, and so we keep looking for some better ones, and we had hoped that there would be, but it didn't come to pass with this particular incident. So thank you. And so who's next in line for public comment?
Mr. Todd Paul.
And you can go up to the front, and thank you.
Good evening. My name is Todd Paul. I live in Petworth here in D.C. and ride the Green Line daily to work. I just want to take a few minutes to address the most recent surge that I believe in the violence on Metro, and it's one of the most pressing problems that I feel that WMATA has. The roaming groups of rowdy teenagers that evade fares, cause disruptions on the train platforms, and even those, if you look at them the wrong way, even if they perceive you look at them the wrong way, they rattle off slurs and, God forbid, they attack you for being what they perceive as different. Now, this has always been a problem to a certain extent, but it's even become worse in the recent months. Look at the most recent blatant rush hour attack on 12/21/2015 of the husband of Lori Kaplan, where teens were heard to say, "You bet I won't do it. You bet I won't do it," before attacking him and breaking his jaw and giving him a concussion, and then waiting almost a month before Metro put out pictures of the suspects? Really? Or the assault of 11/21/2015 of Joey Coward and Calvin Lawrence, who were trying to help a 14-year-old boy who, from being beaten and robbed, and then they were beaten as well. Now, teenagers aren't the sole source of this, but adult crime is also a problem. However, increased greater presence of the Metro Transit Police in the system could help deter this. Now, I rarely see any police on the Metro during my twice daily commutes on the Green Line. Now, as I see it, the kids are only acting this way because there are no repercussions, no consequences for their actions. If they even think that Metro Police are there or might be on the trainer platform, they might think twice before acting. Now, I would just like to know what steps the RAC would be taking to address this with WMATA. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Have you provided information to our coordinators to all the details of your identity? I'm sorry,
yes.
Your name.
Yes,
and everything.
I am.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
May I ask also, have you reported this? Have you sent this to WMATA staff?
These were the two public.
Okay.
Incidents that happened. I would just reiterate.
But as far, okay,
yes.
That's good to know. Thank you. Next.
Mr. Leroy Morgan.
Good
Is the light on there for you? Is the light on?
It's good. Okay. No, it's right. I'm on? Oh, okay. One important thing. You should remove those chairs underneath that TV. Amtrak have a sign say do not stand under the under the monitor.
Thank you.
Unless you want to go up to the Almighty real quick.
I appreciate that feedback.
Right. Yeah, those three chairs there. My complaints is about the Metro Holiday Service Information 2015, which I printed online. My concern was on Friday, December 25th, Christmas Day, and Friday, January 1st, New Year's Day, Metro Rail and Metro Bus operate on Sunday schedule. Metro Rail system opens at 7 a.m. until 3 a.m. I have a problem with that because that's on a Friday. Both Metro Rail and Metro Bus operate after midnight. But on the schedule here, Metro Bus will operate on Sunday schedule, which there's no late night service. This is unacceptable, and I classify this as double standards for the ridership. This should stop altogether. If the holiday have a Sunday schedule, it should operate on Sunday schedule, which from opening at midnight to, open at 7 a.m. to midnight. And also the bus schedules, they operate the same way. And also, too, on the schedule, it said that on the rail, due to low ridership, you're going to operate 6 cars instead of 8 cars. That's no benefits at all. So just for the Metro Holiday Schedule Service Information 2015.
Thank you for speaking to us. Have you communicated anything yet to the staff?
No, I got this. I saw this on the December 23rd. It stated right here in the December 25th. I just checked on the holidays to check how the schedule would be, and it really got my attention because the Metro Bus operate on Sunday schedule, and Metro Rail operate on Sunday schedule until 3 a.m., which is a Friday. I understand that, but Sunday schedule stop at midnight. You got to be consistent. You're going to say midnight for Sunday schedule on Friday or not?
Thank you.
Well, you want the...
Do you guys have enough information, or would you like him to give you that?
No, I think you could go one step further and either call the customer service hotline or submit a online form so that we have it for our records, but we also have your submittal here, and it's on the public record as well.
Right. This is posted until – it's by January 3rd, so it's not online anymore. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Sure. Briefly.
Thank you, Leroy, for your comments. I think what may be helpful is if they had worded that as a Sunday frequency. That was a Sunday frequency for bus and rail. However, the schedule, being a normal Friday night, would be open until 3 a.m. So maybe what could have been clearer was that they're running a Sunday frequency, the headway between trains and between buses.
Okay, also, I checked with some of the members of the Armed Forces Retirement Home, and they said there was no bus service. This is the H-8.
That might be a separate instance of something different then.
So,
yeah. Thank you for your comments, though.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. Joy.
All right. Next up is Mr. Jasper Thompson.
Good evening, council members. Jasper Thompson, also a Yellow Line rider from the Fairfax, Alexandria area. I wanted to briefly address escalator issues with you. There's nothing more frustrating at the end of a trying work day than wearily climbing a broken metro escalator, which is often a long one. Escalator availability is one of the few services Metro claims is currently meeting the agency's goals on their performance scorecard. However, I and many others have noticed something that doesn't add up. When you go to the Metro's service status webpage for the status of an escalator that you recently observed is not working, it's often not listed. Looking at the data that others have gathered and crunched regarding this phenomena, it appears that many such outages are often reported hours or days after they occur, if at all. So the availability measure is not likely correct as a result of this missing data. You tell most any Metro rider that escalator availability is supposedly 93% on any given day, and they will laugh in your face. That is not their day-to-day experience, nor mine. Please look into this issue to see if the current numbers are an honest reflection of reality and get Metro to improve the timely reporting of breakdowns. Also, please encourage Metro to start investing some additional money in awnings for the outdoor escalators that currently lack them, because without them, they're subjected, as you know, to excessive snow, ice, and water damage, and they break down frequently as a result. The one uncovered escalator at Huntingdon is currently receiving a six-month-long total rebuild, the second such overhaul of this same unit in the last 3 years. One of the station managers at Huntingdon claims it has both been totally replaced and overhauled prior to these two most recent costly and time-consuming projects. Seems penny-wise but pound-foolish not to invest in the awnings, and I suspect that an oversized percentage of Metro's modernization and major repair funding for escalators gets eaten up by the small population of weather-beaten escalators, which in turn deprives other escalators in the system of the maintenance and funding and staff timing that they need, especially a lot of ones in the core of the system. And I think that speaks to the experience of riders that if you're going through the core and you run into a bunch of unworking escalators, that's your experience, even if the ones out on the other stops are working. That's all I had. Thank you.
And thank you. And I appreciate that you come in not only with a report of where you're seeing specific things, but also suggestions for a remedy. That's very welcome. Thank you. Joy, do we have one more?
Yes, we have next Ms. Barbara Millville. I just want to make sure we speak into this mic. I lost, you know, I need this for the record.
Good evening. My name is Barbara Millville. I'm the president of the National Capital Citizens with Low Vision. I'm here representing the partially sighted population as well as totally blind population. And for us, riding the Metro Rail and Metro Bus is not an option. This is our family car. So it's very, very important for us to have conditions where we could travel independently and not have to ask for assistance from others. A big problem in our community for those of us who are partially sighted, like myself, is lighting. Because without good lighting in the rail stations especially, someone like me becomes totally blind and we really have to just walk very slowly and inconvenience others and can't find our right train and track, etc. So that's something that we decided to focus on about 4 years ago. And with the great help of Patrick Sheehan's group, the WMATA Accessibility Advisory Committee, we took it upon ourselves to not only present an issue, but we decided to help with the resolution of it and do whatever we could. So about 4 years ago, we went out and surveyed about 70% of the indoor and outdoor rail stations. And what we found was there was comprehensive issues with lighting. Pretty much every single area within Metro was impacted in a negative way. And they're focusing in a couple of areas. A lot of areas, due to the design of the Metro rail system in the 70s, when there was no Americans with Disabilities Act, there was simply not enough lighting there. It was designed to be romantically lit. And so, you know, that's fine for some, but not most of us. Other areas had very poor light bulb failures. In other words, light bulbs were not being replaced in a timely fashion. So we presented our findings to Metro, and we're very, very grateful to the AAC committee who supported us in this project, which is now becoming a program, actually. And we're very happy to report great success in the mezzanine areas in the indoor rail stations. And I'm not sure if any of you have been in there. I mean, I'm actually being able to see the floor now and how very clean it is. So we want to thank you all for your commitment to this and bring this to your attention, because I know a lot of you are new members, and we'd like to ask for your continued support. And because we do feel that we have some success, we don't actually go to the Metro rail stations to go to the mezzanines. We go to catch our trains, of course. So we would like to request your advocacy to the Metro Board, getting the lighting in the other areas which exist. Primarily, we're looking at the train platforms and also some stairways where, again, due to the design of the stations way back in the 70s, just isn't really adequate, and people are actually falling down the stairs, and it's quite unfortunate. So, again, I'm here to, again, express my gratitude and continued support. Thank you so much.
Well, and thank you for coming, and I would like to take a moment to say that I was brand new to the RAC when I heard about the lighting study and the work that the AAC did, and it was really impressive and quite an example for any group to follow, is to say not just, hey guys, make the lighting better. They went out and did all the, you know, checked out every station on their own and did it in such a reliable way that Metro could use the information to take action, and I think it's exemplary, and appreciate that you contributed to that, and Patrick's leadership that is always appreciated. And his participation with us.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara.
Madam Chair, we did receive one more public comment. It's up to you if how you'd like.
No, that's fine. Sure.
Okay. Sure. So that'll be Mr. James Pazuma. Hope I pronounced your name. Okay, Pazuro. Thank you.
That was the other way I was going to go with it.
I apologize in advance for reading my prepared statements off a 4-inch device.
I already did that once, so go ahead.
Good evening. I'm James Pizzurro of Metro Hero at DCMetroHero.com and a daily Orange Line rider for 6 years. Back in October, RAC requested WMATA look into being more directly involved in the manner in which WMATA's public data is used by third-party developers like us here at Metro Hero. We've been in contact with WMATA API support and would like to suggest that perhaps before potentially restricting this access to this data, RAC and WMATA review the numerous issues with the Metrorail data that we've already identified in our own FAQ over our website, dcmetrohero.com. On that page, you'll read that as of today, there are several major issues rooted in the data's integrity, accuracy, and usefulness that we think should be addressed as soon as possible. It would be unfair to assess third-party applications using WMATA's data for adequateness and correctness when the data itself isn't reliable. Rather than attempting to redirect the issue of data integrity onto the very people using that data, we at Metro Hero agree with the new general manager that transparency with the public is a critical step towards bringing back the goodwill towards WMATA that everyone here today desires. Perhaps the best way to do that is by providing third-party developers, independent agencies, and enthusiasts access to the dependable, detailed data they need to help WMATA accomplish their goal. Again, please review our website's FAQ at dcmetrohero.com for that list of ongoing issues with WMATA's data. I also have printouts available here with me for your convenience should anyone want to have a look at them. Thank you for your time.
I'm sure there are a couple of people here that are going to want to see that. Can you tell me, have you reported this to the people who provide the data?
I have. On numerous occasions, I have an ongoing discussion with them, although conversation has sort of stalled over who's actually responsible for fixing the data. I mentioned WMATA API support, but basically they just field information for me from the rail predictions team from within WMATA, and they're very difficult to get in contact with. So I've been pretty much exclusively relying on them to convey my concerns.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Yep. That concludes the public comment segment. We're going to move on to the rest of our agenda now, first of which is the approval of the agenda. I would like to say that we're not going to have the standard committee reports. For those of you who have been here before, we're not going to have the standard committee reports tonight. If there is time at the close of other business, we will talk about committees going forward. So I'm going to leave that open. With one exception is the Leadership and Governance Committee. We have been busily trying to round up candidates for the elections. So we're going to take that topic. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped that. I've done that before. Thank you for watching me. We do have past meeting minutes in the packet that's in front of you and also that was sent to you actually a couple of weeks ago, I think. So we will ask, as we typically do for the new members' information, we ask if there are any corrections. And if we hear none, then we vote to approve. Now, do we have any corrections to the minutes for those of you who were in attendance and know any? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the minutes as submitted? Thaddeus is moving. And second? Second from Dan. And all in favor say aye. Aye. Any nays? Any abstentions? There could be if you really wanted to, but that's fine. if you weren't there, you know, but it's fine. I'm thank that you trust us. Okay. So, unless I hear objections to the agenda as I described it, where we're going to move into elections and then announcements and so forth, unless I hear objections, I'm going to consider the agenda approved. Okay. So, leadership nominations. I'm going to just take a, yes. Didn't we do, we did. No, we, the minutes we did, an I and an A. I understood we didn't need to vote on the agenda, but if you want us to, we will. Okay, fine. Okay, any, all in favor of accepting the agenda as described, say aye. 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 Nay. Abstentions? Okay. Thank you. One abstention. Okay. Now, we have duly approved the agenda and the past minutes. So, everybody okay if we go on to elections? Are you postponing this? Okay, I'm going to have an opening comments. Now, hopefully you all are just really familiar with the bylaws. But in case you aren't, I brought with me the part about how this happens. Now, for the chair position, anyone can nominate a chair, anybody can second it, because the chair is elected regardless of jurisdiction. The vice chairs is a little different. The three vice chair positions, one for DC, one for Maryland, one for Virginia, are, first of all, it has to be filled obviously by a resident of that area. And when we say residents, it's even the at-large members. We have two at-large members, for instance, that are in DC. They are eligible to run for a DC position. In the case of the the nomination and the second needs to come from within the jurisdiction that the person's being elected from. So now the hard part tonight is the chair position. No one has stepped forward and said they would like to run. And so what I would like to do, just because it seems like the right thing, is, and I'm surprising Dan here, I would like Dan to hold the chair election, because Dan is an outgoing vice chair from DC, and I feel it would be appropriate for him to carry for a little bit here.
So what do I need to do, Barbara? do we have?
You have to ask for nominations.
All right. I would like to know if there are any nominations for the position of chair. Yes, Valerie. Sure. I have a nomination for Barbara Hermanson. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Bob? Okay. Any other nominations for any other people? Okay. Not hearing any?
Can I make a small statement?
Well, yes. No, first let's... please. No. We need you to make a statement, and then I'll open it up for other
as
people.
As a nominee.
Other people to make comments as well.
Anyone who has been on the RAC for the last year has known I've been made it very clear for the last several months that I was not intending to run again, and for a variety of reasons. And I just want everyone to know that I did not send out those emails to all of you asking for nominations, and it was very sincere. This was not my intent to run. and but of the probably 8 people I talked to that I really thought I might be able to talk into it, I failed on all 8. And so I did decide. I had a long plane ride back from Oregon yesterday, and I thought about it. What am I going to do if nobody? I was still going to work on it today, and I still did. There were 2 people in this table that I worked on even today to try to get them to do this, and I failed. So I decided that I would rather run than have someone else run against their better judgment or will. So I know what it is. I know the job, and so I wasn't kidding when I said I wasn't running. But you know, I've had a lot of offers for support and help. Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. Anybody else would like to make a comment about Barbara?
I'll make it.
One statement. Barbara, you have 1 year to recruit your
I do.
New person, so there you go.
Yeah, because I only have 1 more year of membership on my term.
Okay. Chris, please.
I know you're just thrilled about this, so I'm very happy for you in this nomination. I'll say I have been coming to these meetings for 5.5 years, and I've seen many people hold your position. And I think of all of them, you have been the most impressive from what I've seen, and you have my support 100%.
Thank
whether
you.
Whether you want it or not.
I'm going to still call you. I think you will. Thank you.
Barbara, could I say one thing? Thank you. The we have been very effective, I think, over the last couple of years, both AAC and RAC, because we've been able to work very closely with Barbara. In joint meetings that we've had between with AAC and the board, they've been very congenial, very productive. We've had good discussions back and forth. I think Barbara has been an excellent chair, and certainly I'm going to support her. The AAC sister committee to this committee would be very pleased also to have her be chair, because it's a good working relationship, good partnership. She's very fair. She's thorough. She does the work. She shows up for the meetings. Can't ask for better.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you. Anybody else?
Bob?
Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled that Barbara has reluctantly agreed to run again.
He was one of the last ones today.
Yeah, man. Got that phone call at 7 a.m. this morning. But one of the most important things that Barbara has done is, I think, has established a very good relationship with the WMATA board. We answer to the WMATA board. They implement or don't implement our recommendations. So I think it's essential that we have a good credibility with them, and I think Barbara has established that good credibility. So I'm pleased.
Is my face as red as it feels? Thank you.
Anybody else? I would just like to say that Barbara's a great example of the fact that she really spends a lot of time, and it really does pay off. So as chair or just a regular member or part of a committee, you know, if you're willing to put in some time running an investigation, anything else, it really does make a difference. You do have that possibility. We see that with Barbara and the relationship with the board and how we can be more effective and everything. So I fully support her myself. I guess so, without further ado, I would say everybody in favor of voting Barbara for our chair for the year 2016, please say aye.
Aye.
Those not in favor, say no, please. Any abstentions? Is that a no or an abstention? Okay.
I didn't think
all right,
I'd vote.
Let the record show that.
Yes.
Barbara.
Seriously, can I abstain? I don't feel right. Sorry.
All right, so congratulations, Barbara. You've been elected unanimously to continue as chair.
Gee, thanks. Thank you. Oh, thanks. I appreciate the kind words. I really do. It's been an honor. It's been a real honor. And it has been a lot of work, but I have a lot of offers for support this year, and I'm gonna call on all of you to help me. Thank you. Okay, now, alphabetically speaking, we're going to go through the jurisdictions and talk about vice chairs. The first is for DC, and I should mention that you all received emails from two candidates, and that's Colin and Thaddeus. And before, I would like a small amount of discussion before we talk about that from the two candidates. Would, Colin, would you like to go first?
Well, I got your email asking for folks to volunteer, and at the time it was my understanding that, no one had stepped up to run for that, and so I said, sure, I'll throw my hat into the ring. But, you know, when Thaddeus emailed the group saying that he would be interested in running, you know, I was more than happy to step aside and, let someone with a bit more experience take the helm. So I will be taking my hat back out of the ring. And,
Thanks, Colin. Well done, considering I surprised you with that. And Thaddeus, would you like to say anything for a moment?
Yes, as Colin mentioned, we did speak a little bit before the meeting, and well, I don't want to repeat everything that he just said, but I would like to offer myself as the DC vice chair and hopefully build on some of the things that we did last year.
Great, thank you. Are there any other nominations for DC vice chair from the floor? Hearing none, do I have, well, we need an official nominating person from within D.C. for Thaddeus.
I will officially nominate Thaddeus for the D.C. Vice Chair.
I will.
Dan Turk is enthusiastically, apparently, seconding it.
I will second the nomination. I do want to say that Thaddeus is part of our PPP committee, and he attended every meeting, either by the phone and present, and that, to me, is the biggest, the most important is someone that's going to be there and participate, and he's already proven that. So I think he's going to do a good job.
So we have a motion and a second for Thaddeus. Do we have any others that would like to add comments at this time? Excuse me. Okay. Because we have one candidate remaining on the ballot, we can. How do we do that? Do we still raise our hands for acclimation? Yeah, okay. So all those in favor of Thaddeus for the DC vice chair position, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? Oh, I didn't. Well, yeah, I was in an aye. I'm sorry. Yeah. So we have, by a unanimous vote, we have Thaddeus. Welcome as our new DC vice chair. For Maryland, we have had a statement offering nomination from Mr. Bob Vogel. Do we have a Maryland person who would like to nominate him for that position? Will Vine is nominating. Do we have a second? And do we have a, now what? Okay, so that is the nomination that is stepped forward. Do we have any nominations from the floor for Maryland vice chair? Hearing none, then we have a motion and a second for Bob Vogel, and do we have any comments that people would like to make to that?
I'd just like to say that I served as DC vice chair and participated in many meetings with Bob, with the leadership committee, and Bob has always shown a lot of enthusiasm and collaboration. I think we all work very well together, so I think Bob can continue doing that in the future in the same position.
Other comments?
I would just add, my first thing being involved in the RAC was taking part of a customer service committee call with Bob, and I remember having a really good discussion about the different priorities we're going to. So I thought that was like a good introduction to sort of seeing someone who's very passionate about this work and sort of seeing its reality. So I think you do a great job as the Maryland vice chair.
I would like to add a comment that worked closely with Bob over the last year, and he's been a wonderful ally and a wonderful coworker, and I think he does a lot for this council, and also he is another person who has relationships already with the WMATA board, and that's a wonderful thing to have. So other comments? Will.
Yes, I agree with what everyone else has said about Bob. He's been a great person and great asset for our team. However, I will say, Bob, stay on your toes because there are other people in the rafters. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we have Bob Fogel as the nominee, and all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Oh, I was, again, one of the ayes that forgot to say that. Thank you. Okay, so Maryland Vice Chair, sir, thank you. Congratulations, Bob. Dan. No, it was Patrick. I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. Okay, on to Virginia. If you didn't notice, you received no emails from candidates from Virginia. But I was doing my normal arm wrestling, and I found somebody that I will now nominate, which is one of our new members, John Nelson. I am nominating him for the DC of the Virginia Vice Chair position. Is there a Virginia member that will second that nomination?
I second.
Lorraine, thank you. Second, moved and seconded. Now, are there any other nominations from the floor for Virginia Vice Chair? Hearing none. How about commentary? This will be tough. You're a newbie, but you can speak first.
Pull this closer. Barbara gave me a call today and kind of explained what this was all about, and I assured her that I am very much committed to this committee, to this council, and when I get committed, I am very passionate about it. So I'm willing to offer as much help to this council as possible. So I'm very much willing and able to do as much as I can, and so that's why she's nominating me from this point, based upon our conversations. And I'm very happy to have that conversation, by the way. Thank you.
And I would like to make a comment because I am the one who placed the call. And I also, it was dependent on my conversation with him and to continue with down that path. But I'd heard good things about him from his interview. And he told me some things that reinforced that. And so I feel very comfortable in his nomination for Virginia, and of course, you know, I'm a Virginian, so I care a lot about it. So I feel that Virginia is in very good hands, but I'm also there to back him up when he needs it. So any other comments? Then we'll proceed with the vote. For John, also known as Major Nelson, for the Virginia Vice Chair, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? John is abstaining. Thank you. Thank you very much. So congratulations, Major. I have to say, anybody whose nickname is Major, I kind of thought that was a plus, too. All right. So something I should have done at the very beginning was talk. You know, one of the key things for the vice chairs is to be, I think of it as the glue for the individual delegation, to be in touch with the members from that delegation, because it's hard to stay in touch with 20 other people, but you know, there's only six or seven others that are from each delegation. And so to really be your support, be another, you could always ask me questions, you could always ask Jason and Joy questions. You can also go to your vice chair, and that's the one that really needs to make sure you're taken care of. If you have questions, if you have concerns, there to be there to be your backup in terms of, you know, what you need to know. So take advantage of them. We should, if there is a moment at the end of this meeting, if the four that will be on the leadership team can stay a few minutes and we can talk about when we'll have our first meeting. We in the past have done it as a phone call the Monday following this Wednesday night meeting, but that's just on the table. It doesn't need to be that. That's just as an example of what we've done. So
We are finished with that. What I would like to do, we still have some time. I would like to take a few minutes to talk about the committees. One thing that we have the standing committees now. I know that the former members know what the work of those committees is and what they're about, but the new members do not. So I wanted to take a few minutes for each of the committee people who led last year to talk about what those committees are so that each of you can formulate. Maybe you already know, oh, when I hear the names of the committees, I know I'm going to want the customer committee because I heard about that tonight. The PPP, I don't know, what the hell is that, you know? Oops, I wasn't supposed to say that on the air. I want to take a few minutes to do that and not to really give necessarily a report of everything they did last year, but to give a sense of what it is. And if you already did that as we went around the table, then you can just kind of refer back to that. So we do have standing committees. We have a budget committee. The person who has been the chair is one of them not here tonight, Jeremiah. And that committee does not meet throughout the year. It meets when there's a budget issue to be ruling on. And right now we do have, from the WMATA staff, budget proposal on the table for consideration. And so Jeremiah will be participating in that. He's out of town right now. I don't know his exact availability, but it's really just a firm piece of time where we have just the early part of the year because it gets voted on, somebody refresh my memory, in June, is it? Because it starts in July. Okay. For the fiscal year. Right. Okay. So there is a budget committee. It's really looking at what the proposal is, and we don't focus on every item in the budget. It's obviously those rider things like the fares and parking fares and so forth and different passes. Fares, I have a tendency to think of fares as just being what I pay when I get on a bus or what I pay when I get on the train, but there are a lot of other things in it, in the mix. There are passes, there are visitor things, there's certainly the metro access aspect of that. What they're charged is based on what the others are charged right now. So I want you all to be thinking if any of you have an interest in budget, and I think I already heard that you are a budget person, right, Valerie? Yes. So anyway, that's something we'll talk about. So one of the other committees, let's see, alphabetically speaking, is...
Yeah, it's just a quick question before we move on.
Sure.
And I'm going to, like, always look over here because I know you know a lot about this process. But in terms of public participation for the board's budget process, could someone speak to that? And Jeremiah may be the best person. He's not here, but I'd like to know how the general public can participate.
Oh, there's a very, very, there's a required public participation. Mm-hmm. There's required to be a public hearing. And what WMATA does is they not only conduct, they in the past used to do multiple public hearings in various parts of the city, but they found out from public that they really wanted other avenues, but there are many ways, you know, supporting, presenting in writing, doing something online, coming to the hearing. There are a lot of ways that are out there, but there is at least one public hearing. That is when fares and increasing fares are on the table is well attended. And but we will be one voice of the RAC as a voice and the AAC as a voice saying this is what we think of the proposed budget. And so that's something we will be gathering and then submitting to the budget people and to the board of what our recommendation is. What we have already done this year is made a recommendation on policies. About we recommended that be no fare increase, you know, not an across-the-board increase. We actually recommended some things that are not in this budget proposal, but I won't go into all that. But does that answer your question?
It does, and just one follow-up. In terms of the RAC's interaction with the board, what does that look like? So do we just send a recommendation for that's written, or is there a discussion that is had between the board's budget committee and the RAC members who may be on
The discussion is typically between, there is an earlier discussion between the budget committee and the people who build the budget on the staff, Metro staff. The communication to the board is typically a document that we send to them with the chair's signature on it as if it's, as it's
the budget committee presents it to the entire RAC, and then based on the RAC's vote, that's what will go from the chair to the board. Because of the timing, the leadership team does meet with the board, the executive committee of the board, four times a year. And one of those times, I believe, is in February this year. And so we will have an opportunity to talk about that. It may or may not be something that, because of the proposed no increase this year, it may not be as, may not be the same. There's a standard that there is in every other year increase. Patrick, yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to say with respect to the budget and an ongoing discussion with the Executive Board Committee was a joint meeting that was held in October with the RAC and the AAC, in which the proposals, particularly of the RAC, which I think were very strong, and the AAC, which agreed with the RAC as far as the budget proposals going forward. We nuanced our recommendations a little bit more because of disability community, but basically, I think the budget recommendations between AAC and RAC are straight down the line with the no fare increases, and I think that's one positive thing going forward. The fact that we could present that jointly in October was a fortunate happenstance, and I think it was very effective.
Thanks, Patrick. One thing I failed to mention, that this will be one of the most informative things you'll ever hear here at the RAC. If you want to talk, all you have to do is that. No, you do not come over to mine and do that. You do it to your own. That way, that's in lieu of raising your hand and holding it, thinking, has she seen it? Has she not seen it? So that's how you can do it. So if we had somebody that kind of put something up, okay, there you go, Valerie. Boy, I couldn't have done better if I'd have bribed you to say all that. And I didn't. I don't do that. Typically, the committees have a meeting once a month. It's a time in the evening that is agreed upon by the members of the committee. So by the end of tonight, we will ask if you already have an idea of what committee you want to be on, just say so. You may be on as many as you want, but it can get a little, there's work to be done on the committee, so we will never stop you from, and the squeaky wheel has already said he wants to be on every committee, so just as a word of warning. But the expectation is that you would attend that and then participate, which would be emails or reading things or talking about things, whatever, and good question, thank you. And so you can certainly go to several at the start if you want and have some say in when they'll be held. Bob, you want to say something?
I would just really suggest, you don't have to, but I really would encourage all members of the RAC to see it as part of their responsibility to serve on the committee, because a lot of the great work the RAC gets done at the committee level. And it's not, you know, they're just two people showing up.
I strongly recommend it. I think that you will feel you're making a contribution by being here and by being on a committee. Yeah. I would never.
Yeah. And you can try them out. I mean,
yeah, you can.
You can try them out. There's no, you know, you go to all three of the first month, see which ones you like. But it's very, very helpful.
Okay, and Dan did it the right way. He actually
I just wanted to, when I said before, a lot of the stuff gets done at the committee level. What is it that happens? Well, usually at the beginning of the year, everybody gets together and they sort of talk about what it is that they'd like to do. What are the priorities for the committee? So you can have a big say in what the committee is focusing on, especially if you're willing to do more work drafting something or investigating something. That can make a big deal. And then what happens, we have some discussions about, how we, what kind of questions we need to ask. Well, Mata, usually the best way to go forward is to get more information before making any kind of resolution or coming to any conclusions. So usually the order is we come up with a lot of questions, and then Usually we have great access to staff to come to one of our meetings and talk about, for example, we've had a really good list of things from the public comment here that I think we can investigate. The escalators, the discrepancy between the information, the quality of the data for the mobile applications. These are each areas in which you get together, come up with questions. Jason's going to arrange for someone to come in at a very small group level, 5 people, where you get to learn more from WMATA about what's really been going on. And then based on that, you decide whether or not there's some kind of a resolution or advice to give to WMATA in terms of doing something differently. I think that's very fulfilling. We've had some wonderful discussions in different areas in the PPP committee, and it's really good at the level of 5 people because you really get to talk and have an exchange. We'll also have people making presentations here, but it's often frustrating because you just get to make a few comments and then, that's it. So, thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, and we do have a structure for the committees in terms of we have a work plan that the committees feed to that we presented to the executive committee of the board early last year, and then throughout the year we gave them updates to the plan that we had built, and that plan strictly came from the work the committees did, where they said early on in the year, these are the 3 things or the 5 things or whatever we want to work on this year, and then that we have a structure also to the kind of information to gather, and as he said, and then getting outside input and then formulating a proposal and then that we take to the executive committee. So thanks for that addition. So I'd like, Bob, would you take a minute to talk about what you did with the customer committee or anything you want to share about that?
Well, customer service is what it sounds like. I know the general manager talked about his 3 priorities. I guess I would have asked him. I would ask him that, would ask him to add a 4th, which is customer service. I think it's really important that the customers have a good feeling about Metro and a good feeling about their employees. That being said, we focus this year a lot on station operations, and that included encouraging WMATA to make their station managers more visible and more engaged with the public, to get out of their kiosks. We encouraged the policy of station of uniforms for the station managers, because up to now you couldn't tell the difference between a station manager and a bus driver if they were down on the station. We've encouraged better staffing when incidents occur at the station. How do you might need more than the 1 or 2 people who are WMATA staff who are in a Metro station when an incident happens. We discovered that the only way extra staff is permitted to go to a station during an incident is by Metro. Well, the trains block on the entrance to the station. How are you going to get more people there? And we talked a lot about communications, better communications between the central system that is supposed to inform people about what the status is of trains and incidents, whether we can give a little more authority to the station manager to communicate with the people in the station when something happens, because they're there on site. So those are the kinds of things we've been working on this year. And at the end of the year, we had a briefing here of the customer service department of Metro of WMATA. And out of that briefing came some other issues of things like who determines when a complaint is closed. Customer lost and found is part of customer service. Well, why is lost and found in Hyattsville, not downtown at Gallery Place or Metro Center where a lot of people travel? I mean, think of it. If you lose something in Shady Grove or Tyson's Corner, how likely are you going to schlep to
Hyattsville, if you even know where it is.
except
for Will, he knows exactly where it is. Yeah. So those are the kinds of things we're looking at. Those issues can continue, or we can bring up some new ones, but try to remind this organization that it is a customer. If the customers are happy, then things work much better.
I'd like to add a couple of things. One is that of those three priorities, I think of the reliability as a real specific customer service issue. I mean, it's not interpersonal customer service, but that is what the customers want is reliability. So it is part of what the customer service team group looks at. Another comment is just some history. We used to have, when we first started the committees, we planned to have a separate safety and security committee. But Lorraine was our lone, I believe you were our lone person who raised your hand, and so we folded it into customer service committee. And so within the scope is not just customer service, but it's also communications, which is customer service, and safety and security. So any initiatives we have in that area are also part of that team. Okay, how about, let's see, what's the next one? Yep. PPP. Oh, sorry. Yes. Just because you put it up doesn't help me. I'm not. I can ignore them.
I was about to wave my hand, actually. You just brought up a point that I was going to ask here. Is there a possibility of creating other committees?
And yes.
One of our speakers was talking about the police presence and safety and security is right. Something that's near and dear to my heart.
I reread the bylaws today just to get more familiar, but we have a mechanism to, I can create additional committees, and if it's a standing committee, it's one process. If it's a temporary committee, it's another. But yes, we absolutely can do that.
Okay.
And so I'll tell you what, we can talk about that at our leadership meeting. How's that?
Wonderful. Thank you.
I think it's a good idea. Thank you. Dan, are you ready to talk about, there are no more
signs out? Okay. Sure. I already mentioned some of the things.
Yes, you did.
Programs, projects, and planning committee, I finally know what the three P's are here. It's basically been a catch-all. The things that we've worked on have focused on technology to a certain extent, but not always. The last 2 years, one thing that we worked on was we made a resolution to the board asking them to more quickly study having a dedicated lane for buses on 16th Street, which I thought was a very good thing to do. We had the head of the bus operations come in a couple times and talk to us about that, which was very nice. We kind of kept tabs on the pilot project for the new fare collection system. The guy in charge of that came in a few times, and we basically just asked him a few questions, and it seemed like things were okay. We worked with the AAC on priority seating on buses, had a couple joint meetings, and sent a resolution basically asking WMATA to more seriously look into awareness of the fact that it makes a huge difference for people that are disabled, whether or not they can get a seat, and we want to give everybody a chance to do the right thing and make those seats available to them. We did a resolution on mobile applications as well, talking to some people within WMATA, and I think that effort can continue given some of the information that we newly received. And then another thing that we did, and hopefully this will launch itself, I don't know, Barbara, if you know the status of this, we really made a big initiative to have the RAC begin having its own social media presence, giving us a way to be able to represent more people. And the details of which are to be defined, but you know, the technology exists for us to really be able to get some good feedback and issues from a broader number of people. It doesn't need to be just 22 people in the
the ideal is for us, when we send a resolution to the RAC or to the board and talk to the board, that, you know, there's a force of a greater number of people behind it. And it's better thought through because we can rely on the community of people to help us out on that. So I think we did looked at some very interesting things. And I just wanted to say that, you know, the issue of the escalators and the discrepancy of the information, the blue line, ongoing blue line, having worse service than the other lines, the equity between bus and rail services on special schedules, I think is a very valid point. Violence as well, and then the quality of the data that they're giving to third-party developers. These are all issues that we can, you know, come up with questions and have somebody come in here from WMATA and, you know, not answer for them, but give us a little more information about what's really going on and what the constraints are. So, you know, I think there's a lot of stuff that can be done.
Thanks, Dan. The other two committees that exist, if you look in the bylaws, are the leadership group, which is made up of the three vice chairs and the chair. And the governance is kind of de facto the leadership team. But governance, when we updated the bylaws, we invited anybody who wanted to be a part of updating the bylaws to join us. We didn't have a lot of takers on that. But we do, the governance is just, you know, how we run our business. So the business of the RAC. So those are the other committees. What we want to be able to do, and we do have the time, I think, do we have questions from this group in general about what you've heard about committees? Because I would like to ask if how many of you feel comfortable at this point of saying what you'd like your committee to be. But basic general questions before we do that. Yes, Denise. Are you on?
The committees, when they meet, are these face-to-face meetings, or are they on telecom meetings, or WebEx meetings, or Adobe Connect?
They have typically been face-to-face, but not always. And I think we do have options available to us. We know it's not as easy, but
if I could say something, sure. Barbara. First of all, the way that we did it, and it worked pretty well. The first meeting, you really go through everybody's schedule. And, you know, you try to find a day every month that is going to be better for people during the week. So, and then second of all, you know, we've had off in our meetings, you know, Thaddeus has phoned in, other people have phoned in, and then there are people present. So there's a lot of flexibility. You can participate in a lot of different ways.
Other questions? No, I guess I don't see any signs, so maybe not. So let me just ask this, just in general, how many of you, with a show of hands, feel that you're comfortable picking a primary committee that you would like to be on at this point? Just show your hands. Okay, so it's most of you. Okay. So if you are, then what I would like to do is actually get the names for each committee, and I maybe I'll actually be a scribe for that. And that if, because that we can get a head start and have people who are interested in it then maybe take a few minutes at the end of the meeting or just before the end of the meeting and say, what are your schedules like and what do you want to do for your first meeting? Colin, do you have a question?
Well, I'm just curious about the current composition and whether there are committees that are especially lacking members. I don't know if that might be important information for decision-making.
Budget was the one that really had the challenge, didn't have people. They had some people at the start, and I think we lost some of those members. So, yeah, but so that's actually a committee that I would encourage people, because it's probably going to be of short duration, to feel free to do budget and something else. I really think that would be a good idea. Yes, sir? Oh, yeah, okay. So, because what we would do tonight, give you a general idea, is we would find out who's interested and then in each of the committees and have you get together a little bit. And then I can name somebody from each committee just to convene the meeting. That doesn't mean they're going to be the chair of the meeting.
but just to convene it, to be one person that's trying to figure out what time and one person, you know, doing that. And then at your first meeting, whether it's probably not just the little thing you do tonight, but your first real meeting, you would elect a chair or nominate a chair so that, and then you would bring that to our next full RAC meeting so we could confirm all of those nominations. One thing I want to say is that we really, our guideline is that it's someone who is a vice chair not serve as a committee chair because it puts a lot of work. Hey, you guys, well, he volunteered. You didn't. You got drafted. He volunteered to do both. But that isn't the way we think it works best. We think to have division of the responsibilities so that, but the other members on the vice chairs will be on a committee but not run that committee. We want to have everyone have an opportunity to take a leadership role and to make a difference. And so we would have that person be nominated by the committee and come back to the full RAC meeting on February and then for the full RAC to vote. Typically there's not a reason we wouldn't confirm who was nominated. I don't know that anybody ever has, but it's for the full RAC to agree to who the chairs will be. Does that answer? Did you have a question beyond that?
When would the members find out if the leadership is going to initiate a new committee?
Oh, that's a really good question. I hope that we meet very, very soon, like within the next week with that. And probably I should take hands on that tonight anyway, but it'd be kind of a conditional thing. Okay. Chris.
You don't have to grimace every time you say my name.
No, I was restraining myself. I wasn't calling you by that other name.
The only point I want to make was that currently the PPP committee meets on the same night as the AAC monthly meeting. And if we're going to talk about the first meetings of these committees tonight, I would request that we change the date of that, because I do go to the AAC meetings, and that is a full night, those meetings.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
And Patrick, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I was going to agree with him. I go to a lot of those meetings, too.
Right. And you were on the PPP this year.
We were scheduling it that way, Chris, to keep you from coming to the PPP.
Okay. Again, what we have, budget, customer service, PPP, and a proposed safety and security meeting. Now, we're at committee. So I'm going to take the votes so that assume that you can raise your hand for more than one, but think about your primary interest if we do that. All right. So all that would be raising their hands for being on the budget committee. We've got Chris and Clarence. You can just holler your names. Patrick, we had some over here. Sherry and Donald. It is Donald, not Don. Either one. You just go by it. Okay, fine. Don. Okay. Chris, Clarence, and I'm quite sure Jeremiah will, and I believe in the past I had told him, because he had a committee of one, I would help. Okay, customer service. Raise your hands. We've got Chris and Colin and Will and Bob, Deb, Lorraine, Denise. Okay. Yeah?
I'm also interested in the safety and security committee, so I'm not really sure if I want to commit to either one just yet.
That's fine. PPP. Okay. Chris, Thaddeus, and Clarence, John, Patrick, and Valerie, and Don. Val, you didn't even raise your hand for budget then, did you? Just noticed that. Okay. Did I leave anybody out in calling your names? I don't think. Okay. Which one? Oh, PPP. Okay. Got it. Colin. Okay, so we do have a fair division. Will has already told me he's volunteering. He would convene the customer service group. Is that still true? Did you sign up for that group? Oh, there you are. I can't read my own writing. It wasn't alphabetical. It threw me off. Okay, so when we, just before we close tonight, we'll have those of you, well, see, that doesn't work, does it? If you signed up for two, you can't go to both. So we're going to still do that, and people can go based on their primary, and we'll take a few minutes, and then you can go for the people who it's the primary
Why
interest.
Why can't you go to two meetings? They're not going to be scheduled at the same time.
But I meant we can't, when we split apart, we can't, person can't go to two places.
Oh, well.
Oh, they can move around. Okay, got it. But then, yeah, it's a little hard to pick the time, but I'll let you guys figure it out. Okay, so Will is going to, we're going to send Will to that corner of the room, and he's going to talk to the customer service volunteers. I will take the budget people. That's not consistent with what I said. I'm going to hand things off to everybody. I'm going to take, Chris is going to take the budget group over into that side, closest to you. And PPP, oh, let's see, who do we have here? You'll facilitate that, Dan. Okay. For the convening. Okay. And maybe get it back up. Right. Okay. And then for safety and security, that's an if. Did I get names for safety and security?
No.
I didn't. Forgive me. Do we have names for that one? We have Chris and John and Corin and maybe Denise and Lorraine. Your hand is up. Are you? Yeah, I got him. Your hand is up. Is that right? Okay.
Hey, I want to success here.
That's true. Thank you. Chris, John, Corin, Denise, and Lorraine. Denise is a maybe. I'm sorry, Sherry too. Okay. What I'm not sure is for the convening, is there anybody that only signed up for safety and security? Is it Corin?
Yes.
Corin, would you be willing to volunteer to convene this group just to, in the corner, to talk about when's a good time to meet?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Because if they were wandering around, that would be hard, you know, for them to do. Okay, we'll do that in just a few minutes. Right. I think it would be safe to say to eliminate the times that you have out there right now. But we'll get a new one, so if you want to wait a day or two. It's just, I guess we don't have any coming up soon. But we want to make sure that we don't have somebody thinking it's going to be on the day that it isn't. Comment. Yes, Chris.
I want to piggyback on that conversation. For the committee meetings, are we asking for WMATA staff to help facilitate those like they do this meeting? Because that would factor into the scheduling, would it not?
Well, that's a good question. Jason, Joy, there have been times in the past that we've had staff at, we haven't done that as a general rule. What is your take on that? Do we need to plan them as though someone will be able to be present or not, or what? Okay.
I think that's open to committee members. We, as I'm sure many of the present committee members know, the doors are open. You come in and we still schedule the rooms for you, things of that nature. If there's additional support, we'll certainly be here. But I'm open to it. I'm not saying no, but I would like the committee to approach
right.
that to see what's needed.
My only concern in that is that these are public meetings, the committee meetings. But without staff support, they are not broadcast for people who can't make it to the meetings.
Well, and unfortunately, there are technical limitations
yeah.
and space limitations.
Yeah.
So they are open in the sense of anyone from the public may attend them.
Right.
But this setup is planned about a month in advance. So
So as far as further picking a date, would you suggest they pick their own date and see if it's feasible, or would you like to tell us in advance what are the dates that we should avoid? There's no standing thing that we should just avoid. Oh, yeah. Sure. That it's always the first this or the third that. Typically, the groups, although there's been variation, you always met at the early part of the month, but the others have typically been later in the month.
The only other thing, Barbara,
yeah,
that I would say as far as my group is concerned, we're meeting, we take up a lot of the Mondays.
Right. Oh, thank you. That's a good point.
So we're 5:30 to 7:30 the first Monday, 4 to 6 or 4 to 7, let's say, on the second, third, and fourth Mondays.
And are you in this room?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And to Chris's point, for those that are chairing these committees, to let us know for any sort of website updates 24 hours in advance. I mean, things
right. Well, when we do establish who the chairs are, then we're going to have a talk about what the guidelines are that, we don't need to talk necessarily to all 20 of us. So.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Oh, you're welcome, Chris.
Barbara, can I ask
yes.
You, because we're new.
Yes.
Has the governance committee been?
We had, no. Governance and leadership, we just do governance issues usually at the leadership meeting, and so it's both. Two hats. Yeah. No, that's okay. Because it's sometimes it's hard to say, are we talking about a governance thing or are we talking about a leadership thing? So we just kind of keep those together. And attendance, even though the leadership team is limited to the four in terms of decisions and voting, it's always open to the others to call in or attend, and so would so is governance, so it doesn't change that availability to them. Yes, Lorraine.
Yes, I think that also we should clear that if you're in more than one committee, you can only vote. The voting within the committee and leadership, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
For all the members.
I think it's safe to say that we have guidelines in both the bylaws and in the committee document that we have that we probably all need to get refreshed on when we get in earnest on the committee. So about what you can or can't do, because the committees don't necessarily vote a lot. They typically talk and come up with things. Yes,
because
Patrick.
The other part of it is the committees make recommendations to the
To
the full rack.
Full rack.
So whatever the committee decides, you have to sell to the rest of the rack. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, we're the one.
Always a fun process.
The whole rack's voting power. Good, good. Okay, I'm going to let you have a few minutes in just a few minutes, but I want to just, while we're all still together and it's not herding cats back to the table, a few announcements. See that the agenda that you have does have some calendar items on it. We're on the 6th. We are not at this point, unless we decide differently in 5 minutes from now, having budget and finance probably next week. But, and I think the 14th, just as a clarification for reading this, that's the board committee meeting day. And I'll be present for that, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk to see if they've read the social media recommendation that we sent them before Christmas. But any of you that are free during the day, which I know isn't a lot of you, and if you want to attend a board day where they have committee meetings and board meetings, I mean, they're typically the second and fourth Thursday of every month, right next door here, the committee meetings are in here and the full board meetings are in there, but we can talk more about that. The 21st is, again, up for grabs because of the customer group deciding, and then the next one. I don't know of any events. One thing that I would like to do, did you guys have something you wanted us to discuss? No, I thought maybe you were trying to speak. Okay. Announcement. I think that's where I was going to do my pitch for, if I talked to you before the meeting, please join up wherever you can, and this commitment is not for one night a month. We hope you will be here every month one night, but we also hope you will be on a committee and participate with those. And there are going to be emails that come to you during the month We would really like it if you read them, and if it says to respond, please respond. I know it's hard. A lot of people get tons of emails, but you will always get back, you know, proportionate to what you put in. So we're always looking for suggestions of how to do things and what to be tackling. You'll get chances with the committees, and you get chances outside the committees. I just look for everyone to contribute as they can. It's an important part of us being able to do our job, which is to provide advice on writers' issues to the board and to the staff as well. The staff will be here. There'll be a staff member here most months. There'll be somebody here talking to us about something. I don't know if we have anything lined up for February yet. That's one of the things we'll talk about at our leadership meeting. We plan the agenda. Does anyone else have announcements based on something that you I don't even get the sentence out, and there you are. this is a time you can always say, I know about a meeting, a public meeting of this, or whatever it is that you want to announce. Yes, Mr. Zepp.
Well, as I said in my introductory remarks, that I'm also active with the Montgomery County Civic Federation, and so just want people to be aware, haven't had your fill of talking about WMATA. Next Monday night, we have our monthly meeting, and we're going to be talking about WMATA and its future, and we'll have Mr. Kanan, the director of WMATA planning there, as well
good,
as Bob.
Good speaker.
Has kindly agreed to, given his experience with national transportation legislation, also be a speaker on the panel. One of the things in the announcement here on the back page might be of interest to some people is I've got also URLs for articles about what transit agencies
do you want me to are there enough to hand them out to the public too, or do I just need to go
sure,
around the
there,
table?
I think there's about 25 extra, copies.
Okay.
There should be enough.
There should be then.
So on the back page there are links to four articles about what other major transit agencies are doing in four other cities around the country that are facing a lot of the same problems that WMATA is facing. And at least that might be of interest to people as to how they're coping with some of the same problems. This meeting is in Rockville Monday night, 7:45. Everybody's welcome to come if you're interested. And another bunch of people that are kind of interested in what's going on as far as transportation and transit issues and whatnot.
But it won't be over before the national championship of the football. I'm sorry, gosh.
It's scheduling problems with everything.
It's a late game, though, I think. I don't know. It's usually late because of East Coast, West Coast stuff. Anyway, sorry. Thank you for that sharing. And there will definitely be events coming up that we will share with you. And I encourage you to attend. Will has the record for attending all three drills of evacuations at the quarterly drills, spring, summer, fall, and winter. And I made two of the three, but he got them all. And we'll have things like that. And when there are the public hearings on the budget proposals and fairs, I'd love to have a good representation from this group. You'll learn a lot. You'll learn about what people care about and why. Other announcements? Oh, yes, Chris.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Stop that.
I'm going to rub it in every time I can. Between now and the next meeting, there are a couple of meetings outside of this group that I think our members might be interested in. And the first one is this Saturday, is Transportation Camp. Has anybody actually heard of Transportation Camp besides me? Oh, I knew Bob would. Transportation Camp is awesome. It's a whole day of transit nerds basically breaking into sessions and talking about different facets. It's not just WMATA. This is everything, bike share, you name it. So if you're interested in that, I think you can still sign up. Let me know. I'll be happy to get you the information.
And why don't you just give the email to, you can either send the email, if there's an email link or something.
Yeah, there's a website. I mean, it is Saturday, so you
that's kinda, true.
You need to sign up fast.
Oh, okay.
The other thing is ACT, which I believe is, they meet in Silver Spring, and this is an organization that's very heavily involved with the Purple Line, et cetera. We'll be meeting next Tuesday night at 7:30 in Silver Spring, and their guest speaker is one Mr. Paul Wiedefeld. So if you're interested in attending that meeting, I can also get you the information on that.
Thank you.
When is that one?
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday night.
The 12th, I think.
When is the transportation
team?
Where?
This Saturday, it's at, I might get this wrong, GMU, Virginia Ave Metro. Thank you. George Mason.
George Mason University?
Yeah, it goes all day. All day.
At the George Mason University? Is that what you're saying? Or on George Mason Road?
Yeah, it's at
George Mason.
Yeah. Founders okay. Hall at George Mason University in Arlington.
I am. Yeah, I would be interested.
Thank you, iPad.
Okay. Other announcements? 5 minutes. Okay. Say that again. Chris is going there for budget. Will is going over here for customer. You're going to stay here. And, which one of you is going to move?
I think Patrick.
Okay. Corin, you're going to come over this corner. Gotcha. For safety and security. And I think I will consider that that the formal meeting, unless I hear objections, we are adjourned. Are there, pardon me?
Are there any general announcements outside
of the more formal? No. Oh, yeah. Any other announcements? Oh, okay. Great. Thank you. Okay, then I'm considering the formal meeting adjourned. And to your corners. Thank you all.